This podcast is brought to you by Hangover Destroyer, the only all-natural product medically proven to prevent a hangover. Go to Hangover Destroyer website, hdestroyer.com, and write happy hour in the coupon code and get 30% off Hangover Destroyer and seize the dawn.
It's Happy Hour again from Uptown New Orleans. Hello, I'm Grant Morris. Happy Hour is part of the family of shows on the podcast network. It's NewOrleans.com, brought to us today by Petite Pet Care. If you're going out of town or you have a schedule that keeps you away from home, the folks at Petite Pet Care understand that some pets don't mind being boarded, apparently. But others prefer the comfort of their own home, and if that's your pet, Petite Pet Care will give them loving care when you're not there. You can find them at PetitePetCare.com on the World Wide Web. When you walk into a bar in New Orleans and you pull up a bar stool, you never know who's going to be sitting on either side of you. What you do know is no matter what they look like, what they're wearing, whether they just got out of a limo or just got out of jail, they're going to be happy to talk to you because that's New Orleans. And this is Happy Hour, a cocktail-fueled 60 minutes of random conversation with folks who have nothing in common. Other than we're all New Orleanians in a bar, at this point we are at Wayfair on Ferret Street in Uptown New Orleans. And Wayfair, in case you're interested to know a little bit about it, is a restaurant serving handcrafted food and spirits, where Chef Kevin White puts fine dining into a sandwich. And if you think that's just some kind of a bullshit slogan, Sarah, it's not. Chef Kevin White was a chef with Mario Batali in New York, among other people, before he moved to New Orleans and opened this restaurant here, Wayfair. And he is a fine dining chef, and he uses all his fine dining abilities to make sandwiches. And if you think that's crazy, wait till you taste one. And if you'd like an awesome drink as well, Wayfair has cocktails and happy hour here every three hours every weekday from 4 to 7. That's happy hour at Wayfair. And this is happy hour on the internet, courtesy of itsneworleans.com. My special guests sitting around the table today are Sarah Arsenault, Kelsey May, and Beau Ross, who is actually not here, but is on his way in a cab from Bacchanal, which is a story that we're going to get to in a moment. Kelsey, welcome back. Kelsey's been on our show many times before.
Happy to be back.
Oh, it's good to have you back. Last time we saw you, you had some sort of food poisoning or bronchitis or something. Bird flu. That's nice. And Sarah Arsenault is a bartender at Ralph's on the Park restaurant in Mid-City in New Orleans. Correct?
Yes, I am. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you're welcome. It's good to see you. Sarah says here that you have worked at Ralph's for around 3 years. And you're about to switch to the newly renovated flagship restaurant of the first family of New Orleans dining, Brennan's on Royal Street.
Wow. That is correct. We're really excited. Just can't wait for it to open.
When does it open, actually?
Well, we don't really have a exact date yet. We're just going to say very, very soon.
What year will that be?
2014.
2014,
definitely,
for sure.
Definitely for sure. And we have a lot of exciting things going on. We're going to have a really great bar program and some wonderful wine selections.
What are you going to be doing?
I will be behind the bar. Making cocktails, facilitating a full-service bar. We'll have our full menu and everything.
Where do you live?
I live in Gentilly, actually.
So is that going to be easier to get to as far as parking and all that crap?
Well, parking is kind of on us, but, that's neither here nor there.
You have to find your own parking space in the French Quarter to work it.
We do. It's part of the challenge.
Okay, that's not right, Kelsey, is it?
Mm-mm,
no, that can't be right. Really?
It's part of the challenge. It makes it fun and adventurous.
No, it doesn't. It's a pain in the ass, and it's really expensive as well.
And I imagine it unsafe late at night walking back with a pocket full of cash.
Buddy system, we really don't leave with a whole lot of cash anyway. So,
that's great.
You know, change of clothes, lockers, you know, all that stuff. There's lots of precautions that are going to be taken.
Where do you park your car?
There is a lot pretty close that I believe that I will be.
And you have to pay for it
yourself. Yeah, I will be renting a space monthly.
Okay.
Either that or I'm just going to invest in
it. Mark that as your expenses when you pay your taxes. Right?
Absolutely.
Who do we call about that? Do you have a representative? Are you in a union?
I am not. No, I know.
We need to sign you up for some sort of union because that can't be right, right? I mean, that's expensive. We had like a web broadcasting thing called Fastband Globalcast that we did on Bourbon Street in the Quarter for years during the dial-up days when no one was listening to us. And we had to pay for parking. I can tell you, it's fucking exorbitant as hell. And that was 115 years ago.
Well, it seems to me that the people who work in the area, they tend to get breaks too. So from my research in garages, monthly deals. If you pay for it for 6 months, you get a nice break.
I'm calling Ralph Brennan for you. See the boss? This is a Ralph Brennan.
Yes, it is Ralph Brennan restaurant.
Who's gonna own the new Brennan's? Just him by himself? Or was
no,
it the whole Brennan
it's he
family?
And a business partner. His name is Terry White.
Terry White. He's the guy who's making the decisions about the money, obviously, then. Write that down. Terry
I have
White.
No idea.
Okay. I don't think that sounds right, anyway, on your behalf.
Oh, no.
In preparation for a career in the service industry, Sarah graduated in humanities and fine arts.
That is correct.
From the University of Louisiana at Lafayette. Hey, Kelsey, isn't that where you went to school, too?
No, it's not. I went to Loyola.
You come from Lafayette or
I
somewhere
come from
around
Shreveport.
It. Shreveport. Well, that's pretty That's pretty close.
Yeah,
very.
Very
not close.
Not
about
close.
A, about a state away.
Yeah. Lafayette and Shreveport.
Lafayette is still south of the I-10 divide.
No, Shreveport's way up the top. Oh,
yeah,
Lafayette's okay,
pretty much, I mean, Shreveport's pretty much Texas.
So you went to school in Lafayette. You're from here, though, right,
I
Sarah?
I am. I grew up here.
And you did a degree in Lafayette in humanities. What does it say here? Humanities and fine arts.
Yes, correct.
What does that mean?
Well, I had a double major. At first, I thought I was an artist, and then I realized that I kind of wasn't. But that's okay, because I can still be a huge appreciator of the arts, and that's where it ended up.
How can someone realize they're not an artist? What did that mean? You thought you had no talent or something?
No, definitely not. Not even close.
Well, what do you mean?
I made good grades in my in my fine arts classes, in my studio classes. I appreciate the political and the cultural drive that artists feel. And I feel it in myself, but for different reasons. And so that the creative to come out of my hands rather than my words is a little different. And I feel like my words had a little stronger impact.
Why didn't you become a writer? Like Kelsey's a writer, for example.
She is.
So with a humanities degree.
Yes, well.
You have a humanities degree as well. Why didn't you become a writer? I'm serious.
There is, there's things you do in your private life for fun, and there's things that you do publicly. So, yeah.
Well, we're already onto that now. What do you do in your private life for fun?
The former, I know.
Well, you know, I mean, I do enjoy to write, I enjoy to cook, and I love to drink, so there you go.
Well, you're living in the right place. So you still write, but just for yourself.
Yeah, generally. Just, thoughts, little things, little paragraphs here and there.
Do they have to be original or just stupid thoughts?
No. They can be anything that I feel needs to come out.
Is it poetry?
No.
Just bits of prose?
I suppose.
Do you have a notebook?
Several.
Do you have one on you?
No.
Oh, that's a shame. I'd love to read something that you've written. What did you write today? Did you write anything?
Nothing today.
No, inspired?
Nothing inspired.
Maybe this
today.
Will inspire you.
It could. Absolutely.
So what do you do with all the bits of stuff you write? You keep them and stick them together and put them on the internet?
No, definitely not. It's fleeting. It's here and there. It's very personal. Yeah.
Right.
And they collect on little notes. Sometimes I keep them. Sometimes I don't.
What did you think you were going to do? You think you were going to be a writer when you went to the University of Lafayette?
No, not at all.
So what did you think?
I had no idea what I was going to do.
So you weren't a fine artist. You were. Is writing one of the fine arts?
Yes, it is.
It is.
Yes. I suppose it could be. I never considered.
I have a master of fine arts.
You have an MFA
in poetry.
You do. I was into drawing.
So supposedly, I guess that's it fits.
Yeah, you're into drawing. Did you say?
Yes. Figure drawing mostly was my favorite.
What's that? Naked people.
Yes, naked people.
That's my favorite.
Most people.
I can't draw anything, but that is great though.
And then turns out, I get involved with this whole craft cocktail thing, and it inevitably that gets people naked too. So I'm still in the
full
same
circle.
Vein.
Yeah, it's much better if you can get people drunk before they get naked rather than
everybody up.
Otherwise, you're they're paying you.
We have
you.
To be careful since there's someone filming this particular podcast.
Oh, I don't think he's going to be worried about that. We can edit that out.
Okay.
Yeah, this is being filmed for us. This is Max Cusimano is filming us.
Hey.
There you go. So, when people get drunk before they take their clothes off, they're paying you.
Absolutely.
When they're modeling, you're paying them. So
I'm not. Yes,
you're
right.
It's a different commercial.
It's a different
relationship. Different exchange. Yeah.
I don't really think I'm really in the business of getting people drunk. I'm in the business to facilitate a nice time.
Okay.
What you choose to do from there is your own accord, but.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the great things about New Orleans, one of the many great things about New Orleans, is that people drink here without being drunk.
Absolutely.
You used to be able to drive around with a drink in your hand, which unfortunately you can't do anymore.
I think some people still do.
I think they still do, too. Do you notice
that's what
that?
Cup holders are for, right?
Exactly. But people didn't used to be drunk driving. They would have a drink when they're driving. I guess it still impairs your ability to operate heavy machinery, but still. Do we have any higher?
Sure.
Do we have a higher accident rate here than the rest of the country that weren't driving?
I have no idea. I didn't have my driver's license at that point.
I didn't live here then.
You didn't?
No. Well, 15 or so, but.
How long ago? Is that longer ago than I think that you're allowed to drive around with a drink?
Okay, my brother is right around 40, and the drinking age was 18 when he was 18, but then it was shortly changed. Mm-hmm. So that's probably when things started getting a little bit more.
Who's your brother? Is your brother Greg Arsenault?
No, that's my father.
That's your father, yes. Is Greg Arsenault. He's super famous.
Yes, well, I mean, he's definitely got some local following and some, yeah. You know, and some international following as well, so.
Yeah, he is. He's well, tell us who he is.
He is a he's a historian and a cultural preservationist. He creates Louisiana colonial style furniture in the historically accurate way. So Louisiana meaning from Louisiana meaning from the boot all the way to Canada at the time of the Louisiana Purchase of the very Spanish and French influences that we had.
And your family's been here for a long time, right?
Yes. His side family. Of the family, yes.
When did they come here?
1700s. Our first ancestor was Michel Arsenault. There's a story of the lineage. Somehow, I think he came here and he now settled what is now known as Laplace.
All right.
But
do you own half of Laplace or anything?
I have no like ties to Laplace.
He picked
Laplace
a really creative
all.
Name for it.
Yeah, right.
That's where you get those writing. It may have been those writing skills.
Yes,
outside
yeah.
Of the
do,
family.
Do it may have been called something else at the time.
Does anybody speak French here? Kelsey, do you speak French?
I do not, but I no. think I know what Laplace means.
Laplace. I guess it does mean the place, does it?
It certainly could.
Do you speak French?
Understand more than I can speak.
So I guess Laplace does mean the place. Why would you call something the place? Good point, Kelsey.
That's probably a modern name, though. I'm not sure what it was before, but the names changed so much. Like Lafayette used to be Vermilionville when Lafayette was here in this city.
Oh, really?
So, yes.
Wow.
When Uptown was like St. Charles area, probably where we are now, was annexed into the city of New Orleans, it changed from the city of Lafayette to the city of New Orleans.
This was called the city of Lafayette.
Yes.
Here.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, there's a big sign on Jefferson Avenue when you used to be able to drive on Jefferson Avenue. You remember that back in the day? There's a sign that says City of Lafayette. I never realized that's what the original name of Uptown. This
Absolutely
Uptown area
it was.
Was.
It was upriver and okay. A completely different municipality. So
you've absorbed a bit of this growing up.
Yes, absolutely. I think it was kind of, whether I wanted to or not, it was there.
It's fascinating.
Wow. Though.
Let me tell you something about Kelsey May. Would you like to know something about Kelsey May, Sarah? Kelsey May is a New Orleans musician, singer-songwriter, bandleader, and recording artist whose fourth record, Half Light, is available where all good music is streamed or stolen. A brand new video off the next single called, what is it called? The Fire.
Mm-hmm.
It's just hit YouTube. I just saw it yesterday. I got an email from your fan mailing club or whatever I'm on.
Yay.
It's
I didn't
pretty
know
cool.
You were on that.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
I'm a fan.
Thank you.
Yes, it's a good little video. Who shot that for you?
My good friend Harvey Sanders shot that video.
Yeah, it's nice.
Thank you.
It's got some moody looking stuff of you looking groovy, and then it's got a little story. It's a beautiful song,
yeah.
Actually.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a very nice song. And this is perfect timing. Here's our guest, Bo Ross, has just arrived. Bo, come and sit on down. We can get you a drink as well. Graham can get you a drink from the bar, whatever you'd like.
White wine?
Something light and crisp. Wayfair will buy you a drink. Put those headphones on. I'm just introducing everybody. This is Sarah Arsenault, Bo.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, Sarah. Nice to meet you.
Good. Now, hang on. This is Kelsey May.
Nice to meet you.
And the guy over here, this hippie-looking guy, is Sam Cords. We haven't even got to him yet. So you're not really that late. So, Bo, what happened to you? You got stuck. The cab didn't show up, right?
Yeah, I called about an hour and a half ago, and then when it finally came, we got stuck behind the Bywater train, which is the scourge of my existence.
It's completely unpredictable.
Yes, it is.
Move right in. So we can move right on in. There you go. Yeah. Well, so thank God you made it, because it's perfect timing, by the way.
Oh, good.
So, excellent. I'm just finishing describing who Kelsey May is, who's a New Orleans singer-songwriter. Do you know her? Have you booked Kelsey at Bacchanal yet?
Well, we're jazz. If you have a jazz combo.
She's pretty jazzy. She can be. Her new single has just come out, and the video for it's on YouTube, we're just talking about. You can find a link to that on our website, itsneworleans.com, or on kelseymay.com, which, of course, is spelled so difficult nobody will ever find that.
I know. No one
that.
ever goes to the website.
Kelsey and May are both spelled wrong. I mean, not wrong, but non-traditionally. Kelcymae, if you're listening to this at the gym or walking around.
Thanks, Dad.
Among her other talents, Kelsey is also a music promoter and a philanthropist. And in those roles, she's the organizer of Highway to the Danger.
Free Zone.
Zone.
Yeah.
Not Highway to the Danger Zone, but Highway to the Danger Free Zone. An impressive collection of New Orleans musicians playing at the Britannia Bar on Britannia Street uptown, or what used to be called City of Lafayette, correct? On November the 15th, that's 2014, if you're listening to this sometime in the future, which is going to benefit the Apex Youth Center.
Correct.
Which is what exactly?
The Apex Youth Center is a youth center in Central City on Simon Boulevard. And
on what boulevard?
Is it Simon? I don't know how people... Simon Boulevard?
Oh, I thought Simone you said Boulevard. Oh, Simon Boulevard. I don't know. How do you pronounce it?
You're a historian. I said Simon Boulevard. I think she got the last part right.
Bo, how would you pronounce
it? At least from the local
Simon Boulevard Street?
Simon Boulevard.
There we go. So, it's a youth center. They provide a safe space for kids to go, learn, laugh, play. They provide meals and opportunities, activities. All sorts of things that kids need because they're kids.
And how did you get hooked up with these kids?
I saw the documentary Shell Shocked a couple years ago, John Ritchie's film. I don't know if any of you have seen it.
Yes.
It's a great film about how kids in New Orleans grow up so much surrounded by so much violence. And so Apex Youth Center was featured in that film, and that's when I learned about them.
Found about it from a movie.
Yeah, yeah. And I thought... I found out that they are also very underfunded, and so I've chosen them as my organization
cool
to support.
Cool thing. It's always interesting the difference between people who just hear about something and get on with their lives and someone who actually hears about something and does something about it.
I don't really.
So congratulations.
I very rarely do this kind of thing.
But
so
you've done it this
it's
time.
New for
so
me.
Good job. And you've got all these bands, the Honorable South and the Local Skank, Micah McKee, all these people are great.
Awesome. Thanks.
Slankson Hughes and Jonathan Brown come and play. That's
yeah,
going
to
be a cool show.
We wanted to have a diverse lineup. Yeah. So there's a lot of different genres presented here. And, this is a violence in New Orleans is something that affects the entire community, not just different parts of it. So we wanted the band makeup to kind of reflect that. This is a community issue. And so everyone, every part of the community should be interested.
And if we missed it, if we're listening to this after the event, is there going to be some sort of video or audio of this anywhere?
If people show up with their iPhones and their smartphones,
they can post the stuff themselves
right, yeah.
to YouTube. Okay.
In a moment,
perhaps we should do this now. I'll introduce Bo to you first, and then we're going to have a drink of this alcohol that Sarah made and brought here, which is intense looking, isn't it? Would you like to have one now? Here, have a shot of it now if you'd like. Sarah, tell us a little bit about it. What is it?
Oh, well, it's something that my parents used to make when I was a kid and give away as gifts. It's from a really old recipe and an older book.
The Bible.
Almost.
Almost from the Bible.
Almost from the Bible.
Okay. What book is it?
It's called Folk Wines, Brandies, and Cordials. It's by a man named Jägendorf. And the last printing of it was in 1963, and this particular recipe, it was a oral tradition from his wife's family, is so it says in the book. I didn't personally meet him, but it's actually a milk liqueur. It starts off with milk.
Wow.
If you can, that's what gives it its nice creamy flavor to it.
That sounds very disgusting creamy. Right there. It doesn't look anything like milk at all. It looks like sort of brandy color or something, isn't it?
It is. Well, that the whey separates, so all of that dairy is then filtered out.
How do you make it? What else goes in it?
Oh, it's actually pretty straightforward stuff. It's just lemons, vanilla beans, a lot of sugar, of course, and good old grain alcohol. Nice blank slate to start with. And then, of course, the milk.
Wow.
And then
you
put it up, you put it to rest in a dark place and let it do its magic. Let that alcohol do its magic.
How long does it take before you can drink it?
Generally, about a month. But you can let it sit in the jar for, probably a year.
Did you try it, Bo?
It was really nice.
Yeah.
Very creamy.
Yes.
I'm a geek for this stuff, and I've never heard of this.
Yeah, most people haven't. It's
okay.
Definitely an interesting
Kelsey,
little thing.
Kelsey, did you try
thing.
It?
I did.
What
tasted
do you think?
To me like... Like a caramel, almost.
Yeah.
It's
intended to be an after-dinner liqueur, but personally,
first thing in the morning,
yes,
too.
I do. I use a stovetop percolator to make Café Bustillo, this really rich, dark, bitter espresso,
coffee.
And it's really good in there.
And then you put it in your Go Cup,
and
you put it in your car. And
it wasn't syrupy at all. It was just a right sweetness for that creaminess. I liked it a lot.
You're talking to an
very
expert
good.
Here. Let me tell you who this is. This is Bo Ross, who's the co-owner of New Orleans Bar, Wine Shop, Music Venue, and Restaurant Bacchanal. That's one of the hippest places in town.
I had nothing to do with the hip part.
Nothing to do with the hipster angle of it at all. Bo's part of the partnership puts him in charge of marketing, media, and music. Coming from a colorful background and checkered past that involves every aspect of New Orleans outlaw life, from selling pot and mushrooms...
Oh, shit.
...to DJing on WWOZ for years. Why are those two things in the same sentence?
Yeah, I sold them at WWOZ. No, did not.
You
I'm
sold,
just kidding.
That's a great service. Well, people in radio used to win. Back in the day, we used to be able to do anything on the radio. We
could, back in the treehouse?
Oh, it was
in
great.
In Louis Armstrong
yeah,
Park,
you could do
anything
totally,
goes,
right?
Particularly on the late night shifts.
Yes.
You could do...
Well, not just OZ, but every radio station in the world, probably. Certainly in this country, people would be doing coke and smoking pot and drinking, and there was nothing to stop you.
All those radio
scoundrels. Because everybody
was
asleep who employed you. They never listened to it overnight, and someone had to run the station overnight. Now it's just all automated. But OZ is not automated, is it?
No, I think in the beginning when they had a shortage of DJs after Katrina, they would rerun old shows.
Right.
But now I think they've got enough talent to keep
right.
it live all night long.
But most radio stations in the world, they don't even have live human beings on during the day anymore, especially overnight. It's just automated. It's just running itself. But
yeah.
OZ still, and that's why everyone was, you know, always getting high as hell during those days. But now OZ still is about the only station that still has live people up there.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that I'm pretty sure they're still all fucked up, those guys, at night. When was the last time you were on there?
Well, I was a pre-Katrina DJ. I did late night shifts, 12 to 3 or 3 to 6. That was where the real magic happened.
Oh, yeah.
But you didn't have to, you couldn't have a life outside of that.
What did you do till 3 in the morning when you started work there? You weren't asleep, I assume. You weren't.
No. I played a lot of soul jazz, and I was actually, I'm going to make the claim right here, right now. I was the first because I brought my own rigged internet connection that I was taking requests from as far away as Siberia. That's before OZ got all technological.
Like
I created
Street?
A late night jazz, a late night jazz at Yahoo, and I was able to get this this really weak internet connection, but I was able to get email. A request from all over the world, and now they do that. It's just par
right.
for the course. But I threw down the spear. I
so
was the
you're
first to
the,
do it.
That's cool. So you what was it like being a DJ? That you quit though? Now were you too busy?
No. It was just Katrina happened. I had a shift, you know, just before Katrina, and then in the course of the exile, they had a lot on their plate, but they didn't check on me, man, and I got mad about that. I was like, whoa.
They
man.
Didn't care where you were. No one called up to say,
nobody sent me an email saying, hey, what's up? Are you okay?
Where's the 3 a.m. Tuesday guy?
Yeah, so I got a little miffed. You know, I'm over
you
it now.
Your feelings hurt by
I did.
Being the overnight guy. You thought somebody would care about you.
Yeah, I mean, I did a lot of volunteering even outside those shifts,
right.
too. But I understand now because I'm talking to some of the people in the organizations, like, dude, we had a lot on our plate, man, and I'm sorry.
Do you think the world revolves around you, really?
I do sometimes.
Yeah, okay,
yeah.
Well, that's
and
why.
And I needed a little chin check like that to bring me back to Earth.
Yeah. Well, still, it's worked out. It says here that you were a filmmaker when you moved next door to Bacchanal in its first outlaw
wanna
phase.
Be filmmaker.
I want to be filmmaker. Yeah. And it says you decided to work there to gather material for a screenplay.
I did. Yeah.
What was going to be a movie turned into your real life.
Exactly.
How
the,
cool.
The screenplay was... Two old college buddies connect who used to throw parties back in college, and then kind of a quirky little neighborhood curiosity blows up into this thing, and that was the screenplay. And it was you know, a collaboration of two old friends who energized each other again, coming together, and then it started happening, and I didn't have time to make a movie about it.
So you actually, in your imagination, you imagined a bar like this with your old college roommate who was... Who's your partner at?
Chris Rudge, yeah.
Chris
the founder
Rudge.
And
yeah.
soul of Bacchanal.
Yeah,
he is Bacchus, personified.
He was on Happy Hour at one point back in the day there.
I remember
when
that,
we
yeah.
Were,
when he was nominated Mayor of Hipsterville.
Mayor of
on
Hipsterville,
this
yes. This is we came up with the title of Mayor of Hipsterville for him,
Does
I think.
Does he get a
here.
Day, too? A day in the city?
he should have a day, shouldn't he?
I don't know if you want to be Mayor of Hipsterville. not in the current climate. You
I could, saw a fantastic video. Was it on your website? Of people who shot a show about hipsters. It's cool.
I was on that.
You're the
I
guy.
Took a
you're
lot,
the,
of, lot like, of crap for that.
Yeah, really? I thought it was great.
I do too.
What was it called? It was called like...
American Hipster Presents.
Yes. And this guy goes around all around the country doing like little 5-minute or so little movies about places where hipsters live.
Or where young people right. are innovating and doing stuff outside of the mainstream and might be labeled hipster, but if you dive into what they're doing, you find out... you know, there's actually something really cool going on behind the label. That was the intent of naming the show that. I'm still friends with the producer of it. I think they did a great job.
I thought it was great.
Yeah.
I thought it told a good story about you, actually. You were like there was no Chris Rudge at all. He was like gone.
No, he just doesn't want to be on film. He does not like being on camera.
You were better. You were very articulate on that thing, and it made it very attractive.
Oh, thank you very much.
It's a good job. Indeed. Are you still writing?
I am still writing, but...
Sarah's a writer, and Kelsey's a writer.
Not really.
Yes.
I'm still writing, and a lot of it has to do with how, now that I'm like knee-deep in where we are at right now, it's about, you know, creating content that, you know, kind of sells the business, but also tells stories around New Orleans, and it's still preliminary stages, but that original idea of filmmaking in and around Bacchanal never left me, and I think I want to start doing that again soon.
That's
but more about
idea.
Storytelling of real stories, not fiction.
So you would have people like sitting around with a drink in their hand telling you
kind
of,
yeah, I'm going to take this idea and run with it.
It's a great idea. And the good thing that you could do, though, if you filmed it, we're filming this here today, Max is filming this, is that you could be part of Hollywood South and you get 35% of your expenses rebated by the state.
That's what I'm going for.
That's a brilliant idea. Good thinking. Kelsey's sitting here with a guitar, and she's brought Sam Cords with her, who's is her brother-in-law, kind of, right?
If only.
If only.
Right. Yeah.
But you can't get married here because we don't.
No, Louisiana's last.
We're behind on that. Yeah. Yep. I don't think they're ever going to allow same-sex marriage in.
Ever.
In Louis. Do you believe so? Graham's nodding her head. She thinks they're going to.
I think eventually, yeah. Eventually, for sure.
Do you think so? I think we'd be the 51st state in the nation. It's a Supreme Court issue.
Yeah, once
the Supreme Court is going to tell the state. So the states have to obey the Supreme Court.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
This is where things go bad here that I should have paid more attention to that civics class.
It's the South. Sometimes you have to have justice crammed down your throat.
Right. Yeah.
Like
so
the Voting Rights Act or something like that.
I think Mississippi actually yesterday had a big court case, and I think they're waiting on the judge to rule there, but I think people are pretty optimistic that Mississippi is going to flip. Which will be great, because Mississippi is usually last, which means Louisiana will officially then be probably.
Right. Well, when I first moved here 100 years ago, people used to say, thank God for Mississippi.
Right, exactly.
Otherwise, we would have been last at everything. But
so I think they finally surpassed
But
us.
Now Mississippi is actually...
more progressive.
Is Mississippi going to legalize same-sex marriage?
Potentially.
This year? Really?
Mm-hmm.
And well, why aren't we going to?
Well, don't ask me.
Well, are you keeping up with it?
I do, yeah, here and there.
Well, what's their
argument?
I
don't know that I'd be getting married even if it were illegal right now. But
really?
Yeah.
What would you have to do to get married?
What do you mean?
I mean, what would it take for you to marry Puddin?
My partner saying, Puddin saying.
She'd have to say yes?
Yeah.
So you'd do it if she said yes?
Yeah, I think I would.
Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
This is an honor proposal happening?
No, absolutely not.
Have you talked about it?
I don't think Puddin will listen to the podcast.
She doesn't
anyway.
Listen, really?
I don't know.
She's not very supportive
individual.
Of you.
I wouldn't quite go there. She's in the band. But, yeah, she's a pretty busy individual.
Okay. Well, you're allowed to be busy and still listen to this because you can stick it in your ears and,
That's
you
true.
Know.
Well, she did listen last time.
She did?
Yeah.
Well, maybe she'll hear this one. And she'll say, oh, my God, I had no idea you wanted to marry me.
I don't think she'll say that.
Have you discussed it?
Yeah. Yeah, we've talked about it.
Hmm. What's it going to take? She just has to...
Yeah.
But what does she need to know
That's
about
a, you? I think you'd have to ask her then. I'm not...
I would love to. Let's call her up.
Yeah. You want to? Like I said, she's very busy, but you can give it a shot.
No, we could, but I would
have heard you do stuff like that.
I know we have done it before, but I feel bad about.
She's busy helping. She's a social worker. She helps people. So
she's
I would feel bad
worker.
Taking
That's
her
nice.
Away.
What
from
does she play? What instrument does she play?
She plays the banjo and the mandolin.
It's a good thing that she's a social worker.
Why is that?
Right, because that must be a tough gig to make a living with a banjo and mandolin.
Well, I think both of them can be pretty tough.
Social work is tough too. I would
think it can be. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How long has she done that for? A long time?
Let's see. Yeah, I think she's going on maybe 7-8 years.
Wow. But you don't do anything else, right? This is your full time.
No, I'm a freelance writer. That takes up half my time. So this is half in the freelance.
Who are you writing
for? Renaissance Publishing is who I do most of my work for.
Well, they publish St. Charles Magazine?
St. Charles Magazine, New Orleans Magazine, Louisiana Life, all those
Why can't
those guys.
You get us in those magazines? Why isn't there an article about us?
I don't work for them. I work for myself. But
oh, they just hire you.
They hire me and they tell me
what
they want me to
write. What about doing an article about the show that
I can definitely
propose
one.
Sarah.
Yeah, let's do it.
Me, Chris, everyone. Look, it'd be great. And then we could do the interview at Bacchanal. And record
it for Bacchanal After Hours.
Record it for Bacchanal After Hours.
A wild freewheeling conversation over wine that gets out of control. Sort of like this.
Yeah, that's nice. Have you started making those yet at all?
I did one when we were having the big music issue, like, and it came up to a vote. Remember when they were about the music ordinance? Yeah, and I had a great...
Oh, yeah, I followed that pretty closely.
I had a great after hours. It was our first one, heavily produced, and a really great team attached. And we had Nicole Weber on, who was Kristen Palmer's assistant, legal assistant. And then we had David... Who's the guy doing all the sound?
David Hasselhoff.
He looks like David Hasselhoff.
He looks like David Hasselhoff. Okay, that narrows it down.
I love this guy, but he was the guy that authored the proposal.
Oh, the guy with the long hair from the city.
And I love this
guy. Looked like he's in Metallica or something.
I don't remember
that guy's name either, but I couldn't.
Not David Simmons. David, damn it. I love you, David. I really do. But
David Wolf or something like that? Was that it? No. But he was working. He's like an audio engineer.
Oxford. He owns Oxford Engineering.
Okay.
David.
Chris will tell us. Chris will look it up in a minute.
Yeah,
but
I'm so
he
sorry,
was.
David.
He's
really
the guy who was
awesome.
The city's audio engineer who was walking around with the sound meter.
We did a whole show that covered all the bases, and then the next day the show was rendered obsolete because we won the war. And then I tried to edit it anyway, but I'd never tried to synchronize five cameras worth of audio, and the guys that shot it had to move on to Hawaii. They were doing Food Network stuff, and so I've got it in the can for as an historical record, and I can resurrect it as soon as someone can teach me how to edit four or five different cameras going at once and then synchronize audio, and it's too much.
But isn't that what editing software does?
Yeah, it is a lot easier to do that with, you know, Final Cut today, but I just... It was a little more complicated due to how we shot it. But I'm going to make that night happen because it was a lot of fun. But, when we do them in the future, it'll be more informal. You know, not as many cameras. It was just like a major TV production.
Yeah, that's ambitious. But it was good to do it if you can pull it off, though.
Yeah, and especially to realize that I want to do stuff with a smaller footprint as far as technology goes. I want to be able to put out content kind of regularly without...
Right.
You know, having a team of dedicated editors that make, you know, 40-something bucks an hour.
Let's come back and talk about your film career. And Sarah, I've got a couple of questions for you, too, about booze. But first of all, I'm going to try and make Kelsey play something before time slips away on us completely. Kelsey, what are you going to play here today?
Well, the last time I was on the show, there was a song I was going to play. And then, if you recall, my capo totally snapped.
I did.
And I was like, well, so much for that song. So I thought I would play that one.
Okay,
if that
great
works
idea.
For you.
Yes, that works for me. What do you guys think? Is it okay? We take a vote?
Oh, yeah. I'm
absolutely.
Ready.
Absolutely. And it's Dave Woolworth.
So you have choice
Dave
A
Woolworth.
Or choice B.
How could we forget that?
So, yeah, this is a song called Favor that was written for my madre. Because, you know, moms... And
that's funny because the last time you played a song was written for your father.
Well, that's just it. So I was going to play, it was like around Mother's Day, I think. And so I thought, well, I'll play this song because I wrote it for my mom. And then my capo snapped and it was like, well, Father's Day is around the corner. And so I played Elvis song. But this is called Favor. And there's two versions of it on my record. One is a very fast, full band, big rock production. And then the second version is this sort of slower acoustic thing with a cello, and it's a lot softer and sweeter. And so what we're doing today is going to be kind of a combination between the two, because we got Sam here playing the guitar rather than a cello. So here goes. Are same as your hands, and my eyes are same as your eyes. So when I tie a string and it comes untied, well, you see the same thing. Your hands, they touch the same string. So why does it come untied? Do these hands and eyes lie? Here I am asking for a favor. Please don't waver in your answer. Please just hold your hands out. Thank you.
just one way to say you weren't like, thank you.
K-E-L-C-Y-M-A-E. Wilburn. We don't use Wilburn.
No.
That's a song about Mrs. Wilburn.
No. No more. Mrs. Gressens.
Mrs.
Gressens.
How do you spell it?
G-R-E-S-E-N-S.
That's a very unusual name as well.
Yeah, I don't know the history behind that name. I know my stepfather is Sicilian, but I think his mother was the Sicilian side, so I'm not sure what.
It seems maybe French again, doesn't it? Sarah, Arsenault?
There's been so many variations once we came to this new world, you know.
Yeah,
come on.
That's true. People change things. So what did your mom think of the song?
Oh, she loved it. But she's like mom, you know, she loves everything.
Yeah, what is she
going
to say?
Right.
You know, you could have changed that verse a bit. There's nothing embarrassing in that, though, it says.
No,
anything terrible.
No.
So you have a great relationship with your mom.
I do.
And what about your dad?
Yeah, we have a good relationship.
Everyone's
too.
Good. Mm-hmm. Do they get on, both, like, parties?
Yeah, it took a while.
How old were you when they split?
I was 17, 18. Yeah. 17, I think.
Was it bad or was it okay by that time?
It wasn't so good. No.
It wasn't.
It wasn't so good.
So many people get divorced, it's like,
yeah,
you think it would be easy, but it never gets easy. It's never easy.
No, I guess not.
But everyone gets on now. So what happens at Thanksgiving, say?
So on Thanksgiving, I typically go to my maternal grandmother's house. Spend the day with mom's side, and then I usually go, I don't know, see Pops. He remarried and had another child, so I have a 7-year-old half-brother. Hmm. So he's got another set of... you know, a whole other sort of family situation. So we hang out when...
And your mom remarried as well.
That's true.
So they both found someone else pretty quickly.
Fairly
quickly.
Does
that have been
that
long ago?
I'm not 19 or anything, but...
Well, you look pretty young. I don't know how old you are, but
well,
you look pretty young.
So
that can't have been that long ago.
I'm 31, so it was, I guess, whatever 31 minus 17 is. 14 years ago.
43, no.
14 years ago?
14, oh, that's quite a while.
Yeah.
Bo, what's the deal with you? Are you married, single, or what?
It's complicated, man.
How complicated is it?
It's really not that complicated. I'm
it's simple.
Single, but I'm not polyamorous, as I remember it mm-hmm. came up on a recent show.
That's right.
But I do. I'm in love with several people, but. Man, I
that's what they call polyamorous now, though. If you're in love with several people,
I'm just not making love to several people.
Well, nor was she. That was a woman who was on our show last week.
Oh, that's right,
Sophie Lucido Johnson. She said that this is her quote: that she's in love with these three guys, but she's not having sex with all of them.
Right.
And I said, well, what are you doing?
And then you made a phone call to one of them just to...
She called... No, he called. I think he called while she was on the show. Yeah, Ned.
I was like, man, he's the main one. Confessional.
Yeah. Well, that was pretty interesting, though, because she said that she's polyamorous, and so she has a relationship with three guys, but she's not actually having real sex. She described it as penises are out.
Wow.
That's how she described it, but they're not penetrating everything. That was her description. So what? How far do you go in that? So you have these three. You have three women.
No. One thing's in progress right now. I can't.
You can't be too detailed.
Yeah.
Okay. So don't tell us any names or anything. She told us their names and everything. She didn't seem to care.
Yeah.
But I don't think that.
I tread soft.
Do you? But do you see that working out? Like having three separate relationships?
Oh no, not at all.
So you're going to have to choose between one of these three people.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And what's the deciding factor going to be?
I'll just go over the fucking waterfall, man. Whichever waterfall that is.
Hey, listen, have another shot of it. What do you call this? Yeah, have a shot of the stuff. I mean, not supposed to. You're supposed to sip it, though, not shoot it. Right?
You can drink it however you like.
Okay, let's have another shot.
What's the name of it?
Well, it's referred to. The recipe that I've sort of adapted, actually, is called Bainacor.
How do you spell that? B-A-I-N?
B-A-I-N. Meaning Old Gaelic for heart of the milk. It's very romantic.
Wow.
It is. What other booze do you make?
Speaking of love.
Yeah.
I'm
so
Gaelic.
Who's going to pour? There you go. Who's going to pour us one?
You should remember this recipe then, right?
I do have,
you have a past life regression.
The archives of being Gaelic.
There is some deep Welsh information that I access every now and then.
You're born with it,
nowhere.
Right?
But the language part, it's a weird language.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gaelic. Have you have any connection to it?
I'm Welsh.
You are actually Welsh. This like close.
I've come from many, many generations of moody, drunken poets that just wander off into these bogs and die singing songs. That's
romantic.
That is totally
it's pretty
romantic.
It's
kind of what my dad did.
You came to New Orleans, right?
That's what I'm aiming for. It's my goal.
To wander off into a bog and die while reciting poetry.
Exactly.
That's how your dad died, for real? Did
More
you
or
say
less,
that?
Yeah.
A bog?
Well, it wasn't a bog. It was a commune in Tennessee, but that's what he was really doing was... It was,
sounds the same.
Yeah, he just he was so like torn up about my mom and
what happened to her? She walked out.
He was too much of a hippie, and she was like, "I need a man like my father, and I need a hardworking, you know, hammer swinging kind of dude."
But what was he like when she married him?
He was exactly the same hippie that she rejected later on.
And she thought she was going to change him, or he was just going to change magically into her dad.
Happen. And he ended up wandering off to one of the most famous communes that is still in existence today. And I didn't even know this until I discovered it by accident one summer and then went off to see where he was buried on this commune. It's called the Farm, in Summertown, Tennessee.
My mother is a midwife, or was, and she spent some time on the farm at that, you know, back in the 70s.
Is that still a place people go to?
It's still there.
I believe. Yeah.
It's very much still
I've never been there personally, but yeah.
Yeah, Stephen Gaskin is kind of like taken up, you know, the cover of High Times magazine, spokesman for the old counterculture.
Oh, okay.
You know, the weird story, and I'll do it really quick, is I had no idea that that's how my dad died. But I had been reading this book called Haight Ashbury Flashbacks by Stephen Gaskin since I was a really young lad. And then one day, while I was visiting in Tennessee, happened to reread the preface of this dog-eared book and noticed that at the end of the preface, it was Stephen Gaskin, The Farm, Summertown, Tennessee. And I just suddenly came to me that, wait, my dad, mom said something about he was buried in Summertown. And I went and asked her later that day. I was like, the farm, mom? And so there was this connection with me and my father that just came together, you know.
Organically,
like a
lightning
bolt, because I had no idea. And so a week later, I was at the farm and I was meeting Stephen Gaskin and all of these little heroes, Rockin' Jody Morningstar, that I'd been reading about in this book, Haight Ashbury Flashbacks. And these were like the psychedelic heroes. And that connection with my father didn't even know existed, but he literally had wandered off, and they told me he was the bard. He just, you know, sang lovelorn songs and entertained, and it was kind of a neat connection with a dude I hardly knew at all.
Isn't that
Isn't
that your movie?
It sounds like one now.
Yeah, it should be, right?
That is such a great story. But
I will say also, I hated the farm. It was. That's when I realized I do not want to be a hippie.
You're not a hippie? what did you hate about it?
Well, it just was like, it was too rural. It was like, and I dug their Zen thing, but like when I saw my dad's grave, which was just this barely noticeable lump in the ground with the flowers and stuff, I was like, man, F that. I want a monument on my shit. I mean, I'm still a hippie at heart, but there was something about, like, I don't know. I'm a big admirer of the farm and that they've existed this long. You know,
yeah, which most do not. Yeah, but most haven't survived like that.
I just realized that I'm kind of more, I want to be more of a city dude and kind of.
Well, you sound like you're saying you want to achieve something that's going to be left behind after you're gone, which is more than just a sort of a piece of dirt in the ground.
I don't know if anyone in our generation is allowed to call ourselves hippies in general anyway.
Hippies, I think it's a great term. Hippie, look, Sam's a hippie. Look at that. Aren't you?
You're making snap judgments.
Just because he's got long hair and round glasses like John Lennon. But don't you think hippie is something to be proud of?
Absolutely. Not that it's not anything to be proud of. But to me, it seems that a lot of our generations, although we do have our convictions, we become very complacent. Whereas I think of that movement as being something very the opposite of that. Reserved a special place for the generation that really made some social change happen.
Absolutely. I mean, my values are countercultural, but, you know, I will just point out, like, one of my other icons, besides Stephen Gaskin, Tim Leary, Terrence McKenna, is, you know, the greatest businessman ever known, Steve Jobs, was an acid-dropping hippie, and I think he carried a lot of the values from the counterculture into the most powerful company in the world. I mean, and I... You know, getting the interface of technology and humanism. So you can have counterculture values and still play the game at top performance levels. And that's where I think is going to be the next wave.
Steve Jobs did acid?
Oh, yeah.
Is that well documented?
It is very well documented.
Really? Okay. When did he stop doing it?
They had a little trip room above the garage where they used to go, but... There's not an apple in Cupertino, one infinite loop.
It was shaped like an apple.
It stopped about the mid-70s, but he did say that, like, everything that ever happened to Apple in the course of the company, the whole vision, came to him on his acid trips. That was just an unfolding of everything.
And is that in that?
He saw the iPad rise like a tablet out of a wheat field.
Is that
look, no, look, we have evidence right here at the
you're
table.
Making that up, I know. You've got a giant iPhone 6 there.
A monument.
But is this stuff about Steve Jobs doing acid in his book? Did you read his book?
Well, there's really terrible biography by Walter Isaacson.
That thing.
Yes,
yeah.
it does come out in that.
It does.
Yes.
And when's the last time you did acid?
The last time I...
What's today?
Well...
30 minutes ago.
No, I'm not a big fan of that. I really think you got to keep it natural. So.
Right.
So I have experimented, but I've always found that to be like psychoanalytic Drano. It's too, I don't know.
You couldn't do
stick
acid.
Stick to the ancient stuff.
What do you stick with? Pot.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And other, you know.
What else is there? Mushrooms?
Mushrooms, yeah. Those two alone are just.
That's enough.
And then maybe every now and then ayahuasca. And yeah, lots of wine.
Ayahuasca. Prunes. Have you ever done ayahuasca, Sarah?
I have not.
Kelsey, have
no,
you ever done it?
I have not.
You do that regularly?
No,
oh, just
no,
once
no,
in a while.
No, 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 no.
Well, that is the heaviest duty of all of them.
No, yeah.
That's super serious.
That's if you've really got a problem with like meth or post-traumatic stress disorder and you are at that wall, you know, and you need a conversion, a catalytic conversion experience to get you out of that death spiral. Go do that.
Don't go to the
everybody
social
else,
worker.
Everybody else, shrooms are
this
fine.
This is a little
man.
Counterculture, isn't it?
Okay. Where did you get the pot and the mushrooms from when you sold them? Did you have like a wholesale?
Well, my partners told me, said, talk about whatever you want, but make sure you keep it.
Don't mention the pot and the mushrooms. You're not selling them out of Bacchanal, I know that. Because I'm sure they're watching you. The city is keeping an eye on you guys.
This is a part of my past that I
So you've
dear.
Gone straight. You're like a business guy now.
Yeah.
good answer. So, Sarah, what was your mom doing as a midwife? Why did she choose to be a midwife on a hippie commune in Tennessee, of all places?
She just went to go visit there. She had some friends there. Mostly she
Who
chose
were
to
they? Do you know?
No. I mean,
could
I may have
Beau's
met them
dad?
As children, but
could
I'm not
Could it be
sure.
Beau's dad?
It's possible. It's absolutely possible. It is a small world, and New Orleans, we're only like 1 degree separated from everybody. So, she actually chose to be a midwife in the state of Louisiana where it was not legal, and she's the reason it is legal.
Hell yeah.
So, yeah.
Wow. It wasn't legal to be a midwife.
She's a feminist.
What do you mean it wasn't legal to be a midwife? You had to be a doctor to deliver babies.
You had to be
babies.
A doctor to deliver babies. There was no education or licensing, basically. So you could go off to another state somewhere where you could get some education and licensing and all that. but then you couldn't legally practice outside of that state. So, so she
what
she
year
spent,
was this
she
is spent the 70s.
The well, in this point, she spent the early 80s doing this, working with a doctor that she had found who supported her cause. And actually, some of the Landrews, actually, they were, you know, they were politician family as they are now. And she worked with them. They were supportive of her cause, too, in the legislature to get everything legitimized. And she actually lost a lot of friends over it, too. There were a lot of people that supported her, but there were also other midwives who did not support her, didn't want to have to, you know, didn't want to be regulated as they are.
What were they doing?
They wanted to be underground or something?
Yeah, they wanted to remain underground and you know, regulate themselves.
And where were you when your mom was at the farm?
I wasn't born yet.
Oh, okay. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I wasn't born yet, so.
So midwives existed, but they weren't legal. So who would have a midwife then?
Arguably, everyone at this table knows the oldest profession in the world, but I believe that it goes right along hand that you needed a midwife at that point. So
doesn't everyone who give birth from time immemorial have someone to help them? I mean, human beings, not every animal, but don't human beings all have, whether we have a term for it or not, whether it's called midwife or doctor?
Absolutely. Yes, of course, but it's in our modern Western culture, it's become very something that needs to be very, I don't know, controlled.
Well, it has to be regulated because, you know, it's life and death. And
of course. Of course. I'm pretty sure people die less in childbirth these days, though.
Oh, I think so. I think even in Louisiana, we have low mortality, infant mortality
rate.
We do.
I mean, you know, first world, you know.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Well, that's why it's good to have some regulation. But what happened before there was regulation is that there were midwives delivering babies, but illegally. So who would hire you if it was illegal?
Well, it was, you know, it wasn't too dirty under the table. It was people who were just living in rural lifestyles and alternative, you know, lifestyles.
Okay.
But you know, she was a nurse and she went through nursing school first and then decided she wanted to take her education a little further and went and studied with midwives like on the farm and other places. And then she said, well, you know what, I know a few people, why don't we get this thing going in Louisiana and I can practice here and have my family here where I want to be. So
do you remember the years that she was at the farm or what the era? Because I'm trying to say maybe
you guys are brother and sister.
Oh no. No offense.
Well, my dad died there in 79. So
yeah.
That
it would have been, I believe, before then. So I was born in 81. So she would have
wow,
been. Yeah, so it's
goodness.
It's quite possible.
This is some serendipity.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is a higher level of booking, you guys.
I'm telling you something.
Thanks, Graham.
Graham DePonte is our producer, does this. I don't know, it's just some sixth sense she has about putting people together. This is a pretty good one, though, I have to say.
I'd have to double check. This story I haven't heard in quite a long time. So, yeah.
Well, we need to find out.
Oh,
for
yeah.
Sure.
Supposedly the Wilburns are from Tennessee. Maybe.
There you go.
I'm trying to get in on
this.
We
may have crossed paths.
The whole thing is just an amazing. I mean, the whole story about how you found out about your dad in the first place.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, it's crazy. So you haven't been to the farm, though?
No, I've never been.
And it's still going. So what did your dad do on the farm? Was he just, were they farming?
When he was there, they were at the peak of, like, you know, they kept the 60s going. Like, they didn't quit the party. And so, not that they weren't doing serious stuff and moving towards midwifery and other, you know, industries and getting into, I think, soy production and various things. But they were still in full thrall, as far as I understand it. And so, like, even Stephen Gaskin told me himself, he's the one that took me out there to that little mound where my dad was. And he was like, I wish I could give you some more anecdotes about your dad. I remember he was a bard to us and sang and stuff like that. But he said, dude, it was still the 60s here. So it was a lot.
I remember
going on. The farm had reached this, like, peak population around that era. But I think he made a good dent there.
How amazing. So when was the last time you saw your dad? Alive.
Oh, wow. Way, way on back. I remember he actually tried to teach me how to meditate. And I think I was like 4 or 5 years old. And I can remember him like opening up this like Indian, you know, probably or a Tibetan book with mandalas and stuff. And he crammed my little legs into the full lotus position. He was trying to make me understand that meditation can put you on that cloud right there. And I remember trying. And he was in a sad little bachelor pad living above somebody else's crib, and that was probably shortly before he wandered off in, you know, enjoying the farm or whatever. So
that was the last memory you have of him when you're...
He also tried to get me to smoke a joint. I remember that. And he took me to see Tommy when I was like 4 years old. And I went home and told my mom, I want Tommy jeans. And I've worn Tommy jeans ever since.
Are you still wearing them?
Well, these, I dressed up a little bit. But yeah, I have a lot of jeans with holes in them.
Wow, that's wild. So what made your dad think that smoking pot would be good for a little child?
Actually, I think he was doing the reverse. You know, the way your dad...
Oh, it's kind of like psychology.
Make you...
Don't smoke this, son.
Because, yeah, you'll cough.
Yeah.
Right. When dad makes you want to, you know, you have to sit down and smoke a whole pack of Winstons to learn your lesson. I hope that that's what he was doing.
Well, it totally worked on you, right? Because you've never smoked pot since.
Well, and also...
Apart from that stuff you sold while you were a DJ at WWOZ.
I didn't do it at OZ.
No,
man.
I'm just saying. I'm sure they don't care about that anymore.
And I didn't really sell that much. I consumed most of it.
Oh, really? Okay. Hey, listen, before we have to start moving out of here, which is not far off, Kelsey, we have to make you play one more song.
Oh, okay.
We have to. Cool. It's the law.
Sounds great.
What do you think?
Do you want...
Do you have any songs about midwifery Tennessee hippies?
I don't.
Pot,
I don't.
Acid, ayahuasca.
I was thinking about playing the one that you were talking about earlier, the video that just came out yesterday, because it's kind of about the event, sort of. It's about what inspired me to do this thing to benefit Apex.
Yes.
But it's kind of a sad song, so I'll let people go online and listen to it there and watch the video, and that's called The Fire. Instead, I'll play something that lets Sam show off a little bit, and just kind of a fun...
Okay.
A fun song. Is that cool?
It's totally cool. Awesome. Whatever you'd like to play.
It's also on the record. It's called My Love, I think. Right? All right.
Quit being stupid, quit being stupid, quit being stupid with my love. Quit being stupid, quit being stupid, quit being stupid with my love. I heard you say those words to her.
Kelsey Mae, K-E-L-C-Y-M-A-E. And Sam Cords, thank you so much. That was great.
Thank you.
That's a nice little song. It was a great way to end the show. Thank you very much.
No problem.
So if you're listening to this in 2014 and it's not November the 15th yet, you still have time to go down to the Britannia Bar, see Kelsey May play live with her band, Puddin on banjo and mandolin.
Right. Puddin on banjo and mandolin.
And Puddin's brother Sam on guitar.
Exactly.
And the rest of the band. And as well as a whole bunch of other great people who are the Honorable South and Local Skank. And Micah McKee's and really great people and his band Little Maker. So good on you for doing that.
Thank you. And thank you. We're looking forward to it. Thanks to Apex for doing what they do.
The Apex
Youth Center in Central City. Yeah.
In Central City.
Please consider a donation.
On Simon Bolivar.
There you go.
However that's pronounced.
Simon Bolivar.
Sarah Arsenault, thank you so much for joining us as well. We can see you down at the new Brennan's on Royal Street.
Come and look for you. We're going to have some great cocktails and lots of fun.
Are you going to use this Bancor in your cocktails over there?
No, this is my personal stuff. This is home stuff.
You're going to have to get to know Sarah.
But we
Sarah.
Will be me, I know. Tell.
We didn't find out anything about Sarah's personal life at all whatsoever.
I know.
So.
You didn't get there.
About her parents, man.
Why don't we just add another 30 minutes to the show right now?
I'd love to sit around, you know, and have some more cocktails and talk. But we're going to be doing some really fun cocktails, lots of handmade things. So, yeah, it's going to be great.
And
come on.
Let's do one at Bacchanal.
Let's go down to Bacchanal after hours.
We have no restrictions, time or otherwise.
Yeah,
yes.
Come on then.
I'm not kidding.
Sarah said she celebrated her birthday at Bacchanal, actually, before
I
the
did,
show started.
I did, my birthday this year. Second time, actually.
It's great for birthdays.
I have a quick story about Bacchanal. Right after Katrina, a couple months, I was living on Dauphine in France. I was living in Lafayette, but I was splitting my time here with a boyfriend of mine at the time, helping reopen some restaurants in the French Quarter. And after being bombarded all day by so much heaviness just everywhere, we would walk to Bacchanal, and Bacchanal was barely open, and we were drinking out of jars, and it was just this slice of normalcy that we could get in the evenings that was just, it's got a piece of my heart for sure.
Oh man, thanks a lot. And I have the same memories of it, you know, of just that was such a place for people to come together and realize we can recover.
We're
we
still
can
bring here.
It back. We
yes.
can make this happen.
Yeah, it definitely holds a special spot.
Thanks a lot.
How nice. Oh, beautiful. What a nice way to end the show. Bo
right.
Ross, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you.
Sarah Arsenault.
Thank you very much.
Kelsey May.
Thanks, Kelsey.
And Sam
thank you.
Cords has been here, who the silent man on guitar. That's Happy Hour for this
silent
week.
Hippie.
Our show is produced by Graham DePonte. Our associate producer and technical director is Chris Kehoe. Christian Unruh is our music director. Our theme music was written by and is currently being played by Mitch Foreman. The fabulous audio quality of this show is brought to you in part by PreSonus Audio Electronics. If you'd like to be on our show and you can sit around this table for approximately 60 minutes and stay upright, drop us a line. Our address is on our website, itsneworleans.com, where you can also check out many other happy hours we've recorded here at Wayfair and before, as well as some other shows we make here at itsneworleans.com. Out to Lunch with Peter Ricciuti, live from Commander's Palace. Mindset with psychiatrist Dr. Nick Pajic. True to the Game with Chris True. Midnight Menu Plus One with Margot Moss and the man who ate New Orleans, Ray Canada. And Louisiana Eats with Poppy Tooker. You can keep up with us on Facebook, Twitter, and a bunch of other time-sucking social media as well. On all of it, you can find us. We're called It's New Orleans. You can find photos from this show on itsneworleans.com and Facebook. These photos are taken by the fabulous Douglas Engel, who's walking around here somewhere. If you're listening to this show on iTunes or on Stitcher or some other podcast app, thank you so much for subscribing to us, and now there's lots of you. Please, if you could, just do one tiny little thing for me. Take a moment to stop and rate and review us. Just give us a couple of stars or five and tell people how much you like the show. That helps other people find us. Our show is recorded live today at Wayfair on Ferret Street, where they put fine dining into a sandwich and fine booze into a glass. Come and check it out down here. They have happy hour from 4 to 7 and excellent sandwiches every day and every night. Happy Hour is a production of INO Broadcasting. For itsneworleans.com, Andrew Duhon will be back, I think, in a week or two, possibly, or maybe not, depending on where the hell he is. He's walking around somewhere with a guitar. For everyone around here at the table at Wayfair and back at the INO office, I'm Grant Morris. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you back here next time on Happy Hour.